This is Victory House.
Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start. We'll read from verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. The Bible says, "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." Anyone who has been stealing, don't steal again. Now, sometimes when we read scriptures, you are easily able to take yourself out of the equation. You're like, well, that's not me. They are talking to the thieves. But you need to define some of the words there, because stealing may not be what you think it is, or may be much more than you think it is. What does it mean to steal? To steal is to take something that belongs to another without their permission. That is what it means to steal. When you take what belongs to somebody without their permission, without you asking them, and using it as if it was yours, you have stolen it. So, this scripture may be applying to many of us. Because sometimes, some of us have taken our employer's time. Amen. You think we won't get there? We'll go there. Because that Facebook that you are doing, that you are playing, somebody paid for that time. It's a paid time. That's why you are at work. It's not for you to be doing your own personal stuff. There are some people, they do more personal stuff at work than they even do at home. They've mixed it up. But Jesus, God, the word of God is telling us this morning that anybody that is stealing should not steal again. How do I position myself for abundance? How do I position myself for increase? It is to know that I must not be a thief. God doesn't like it. God doesn't like people cheating people. Even if that your employer is not a child of God. Even if you are sending WhatsApp that says, forward it to 5 of your friends, Jesus loves you. You are still stealing. Because sometimes some people send text at some odd times of the day, and you're like, excuse me, what are you, where did you get this time to send this kind of text? Oh, this is, I'm sending the word of God. Yes, but you can send it later. Because doing the right thing at the wrong time can also be the wrong thing. Can I get amen to that? So, the Bible says, anyone that steals should not steal again, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to give. So the other time I said, God speaks about money much more than many, many, many topics in the Bible. There's so many references to money, income, wealth, and all of that in the Bible than many, many subjects that you'd have thought would be in the Bible. More than sin, more than holiness, more than heaven. Why is that? It is because God is a good father. Every good father wants their children to do very well. This week, on Friday, I got a very strange call. I won't tell you who it is before some people start thinking, how did I know the person? But somebody called me, very important person, at least in my own life. And this person calls me. This person did not need to call me. And when this person was leaving the call, she said, "We are praying that you do better than us." Now, this is a very, very successful person in ministry and in every sense of this. You know, elderly woman, she's going to be 70 this year. And she said, "Our prayer is that you do better than us." That is my prayer for my children. I want them to do better. I don't know any good parent that will be happy and say, well, let them also know that life is hard, so let them suffer. That will not be a parent, right? That would be a terrorist. We need to report them to, who do they report terrorists? Is it ICE or, you know, whichever? Because that's not a parent. Every good parent wants their children to do well. And God is a good parent. God is a good God. So that is why his intention is that you do well. God is not glorified when you don't do well. Because when you do well, people see him. When you are doing very well, people will wonder, who is his father? And they say, it's God. And then they say, well, that's a good... And people want to associate themselves with him because of what they see him doing in your life. The Bible says in 3 John chapter 3,
3 John chapter 1 and verse 2.
3 John chapter 2, verse 2. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you will prosper." My intention for you is to be good, that you will do well. You will do well at work. You will do well at home. You will do well everywhere. That's my intention. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for you too, as a church, as somebody that has oversight over many of us that are here. I want you to do well. If you do well, it is good for me. Don't you think so? How much more God? So God wants you to do well. He says, "I am praying that you will enjoy good health and that all will go well with you." I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Jesus that we are celebrating in this week of the Passion Week and leading towards Easter, that you will do well. I thought somebody would say a bigger amen to that. I said, you will do well. So God wants you to do well. God wants you to do well. And you need to understand that when we're talking about money, you know, I just use money to catch your attention, but we're really talking about wealth, which is much more than money. It is something all around, because some people, all they have is money, but they don't have any other thing. They don't have peace. They don't have joy. That's not the kind of thing we're talking about here. Because the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it does not have sorrow. So it's not something that now you cannot sleep because you have some change in the bank. You know, because there are some people, they are always, when they see cops, they are like this. What's that? When they see anybody talk too much, they are panicking. Some people, they have never slept more than 2 hours before because of some little change you have in the bank account. That's not money. That's slavery. But that's not your portion in the name of Jesus. So God wants you to be blessed much more than money. So the blessing, being blessed is much more than money. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10 and 22. The Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord, it brings wealth," or it makes rich. It says, "without painful toil to it." You will not sell yourself for it. You will not kill yourself for it. You will not lose your children just to have money. You will not lose your husband just because some people, it's almost as if they have sacrificed their children, they have sacrificed their family on the altar of money. That won't be your portion in the name of Jesus. So we're not talking about that kind of thing, because God's desire for his people is that his people be blessed. Another desire of God for his people is that wealth and riches will be plenty in your house. That's my prayer for you this morning. I declare wealth and riches will be plenty in your house in the name of Jesus. In Psalm 112 and verse 3, Psalm 112 and verse 3, talking about the righteous man here, the Bible says, "Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever." You know, when I was a younger guy, because I'm still a young person, amen, I told somebody my age yesterday, and the guy scared me a little bit. But I'm still young. Amen. So, when I was younger, it was kind of, I don't know how, where they got that stuff from. But the band we were working with then, I mean, the church folks and all of that, there was this glory in that if you are poor, it seemingly means that you are righteous. Righteousness and poverty don't have any correlation. Amen. You can be a rich, righteous person. Can somebody say amen to that? Because some people, those rich people, maybe they won't make it to heaven. There are many rich people that will be in heaven because I'll be there. And I won't be poor. I thought somebody would say amen for me. Oh, Lord. There are many. Abraham, the Bible says, was rich. And Abraham is in heaven. How do we know? Because when Lazarus, that Lazarus that was suffering here, died. The Bible said, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. So Abraham cannot, the bosom of Abraham could not have been in hell, because somebody was asking Lazarus from Abraham's bosom to send relief to him in hell. So that means Abraham made it. So if Abraham made it and he was very, very, the Bible says he was very rich. Until today, some of the richest people are still Jews. Do you know that? Because of that link to Abraham, That blessing that God said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing, is still happening on the people that have his natural.
And I wonder if anybody doesn't even have his natural, you know, genes. Because me, I do. You know, if you look at me, don't I look like a Jew?
So if they can be rich, even the natural kids, how much more Abraham is there? And Abraham made it to heaven. So righteousness and riches can go together. In fact, I have found that money doesn't really have a personality. It takes on the personality of the person that owns him. If you're a good man, your money is a good money. If you're a bad man, your money is a bad money. Because some people will say money has thinking something, you know. It's an African proverb. Something about money is dirty.
It's not all true. There's clean money, and you will get clean money. You'll get a lot of it too, in the name of Jesus.
So God's desire for his people is to be blessed. And you see, you can't put God first in your life and then you become the last. No. You can't make God a priority and become a minority. Because if you make God the priority, he will make you the majority. And I see that happening to you in the name of Jesus. So God rewards his people, people that serve him. Riches is a reward. In Proverbs 22 and verse 4, Proverbs 22 and verse 4, the Bible makes us to understand that humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. That means when you serve God, when you honor God, when you fear God, some part byproduct of that is riches. Some byproduct of that is that you will have honor in life. And that will be your story in the name of Jesus. So let's go back to that scripture we started with this morning. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more. God is very concerned about how. He's not just concerned about what. Because some people, let's just get the money anyhow. No, God is concerned about how. God is concerned about the measure. God is concerned about what you are actually doing. Are you cheating to get where you are? Are you cutting corners? Are you doing stuff to hurt other people in the name of money? Because some people, when it comes to money, they'll say, well, leave God there. This is money. No. There is no how a child of God can dissociate himself with what he does from Monday to Saturday. There is no how. God doesn't compartmentalize our lives. Because some people, they have successfully been able to do that in their mind. To assume that I have a church life, I have a work life, and I have a social life. No. It's everything. Acts 17 makes us to understand that in him we move, we live, and we have our being. Meaning that there is no demarcation. At work, I am a child of God. At home, I am a child of God. When I'm in church, I'm a child of God. Everywhere I show up, I'm a child of God. So everything I do must honor God. That's what that scripture is saying. Let he that stole. The how is important to God as the what. It's not just, oh, let me just bring it. Because some people, they will go and almost kill for money. And they'll say, I'll bring the tithe to church. God is not looking for that. If you've been around God for long, God is not even concerned about size. It's the heart. The size is not the big deal. The heart is the biggest deal. It's the heart. God is thinking, what is this guy's disposition? What is this lady's disposition? What is their heart? Because sometimes some people give God a large offering, but to God it's an abomination. Because the heart is not right. So the how is very important to God. The how is very important to God. Can I also say this? Stealing is the opposite of not working. Because read that scripture. Let he that stole steal no more, but rather work. Or if you reverse it, the person that is not working is stealing. If you have a position that you are supposed to work and you are not doing the work because people are not seeing you, because there's nobody to supervise you, you are a thief. Yeah, that's what the word of God is saying. You are a thief. Because when we do any work, we do as unto the Lord. There is no small work. There is no menial work. There is no work that does not have dignity. Every work is important to God if you do it as unto the Lord. If you are cleaning shoes, clean as unto the Lord. If you are cleaning floor, clean as unto the Lord. If you are doing anything you are doing, do it as unto the Lord. As long as you do it and God can be satisfied, that's a good thing. If you don't do that, the Bible is saying that you are stealing. Because let it as steal, steal no more. But rather work, not be lazy. We need to talk about laziness, because sometimes some church people, they think that Abraham's blessings are mine means that I won't do anything. Like I will have favor. You know, there was some years ago, people used to say this a lot in the church. I don't know if wherever you were, they used to say that the wealth of the Gentiles will come to us. And sometimes what they mean by that is that I will sit down and some people will walk and I will take. That's not the God of the Bible. That's not how it works. He's not the God of people. Now, sure, he's going to bring the wealth. He's going to bring wealth from somewhere. But you are going to position yourself by doing something. You are not going to be lazy. And then the thing will just come upon you and say, favor. Because in some people's dictionary, favor means no work. That's not what favor means. Favor means the result you get from your work will be greater than the impute. But there will be work. It doesn't mean that I will just be idle. Ah, pastor, just be idle. No. Work, sir. Work. Some of us, our work ethic is poor. If God were to bless you, the way you are putting yourself into your daily 9-to-5 or whatever job you are not giving it your best. You're always complaining. Hey, it is like this. It is like that. You don't know that anybody that you are seeing up there, because some people, I've met people like this, they will say something like, all those CEO people, they don't do anything. They are just stopping all the money. That's the right word. They are just eating all the money. They are the ones, you know, we are the ones doing the job. But don't you think that some of them have paid their dues to get there? Some of them too started like this. Some of them too started like you. You know? Some of us have done some of these jobs that some people are almost breaking their neck over. We've been there too, sir. There was a time I used to knock on doors in this city. You don't know what knock on doors is. When it is sub-zero, sub, like 25 below zero. So you are knocking on doors. So the job was this, that you will knock on doors. People will sign up for this giving to kids. And the more sign-ups you have, that's how you'll be paid. So if you like, go and sit down. If you come to the office and say, they won't give you anything. And if they sign up, there are different packages. If they sign up big packages, they will give you this kind of compensation and all of that kind of thing. So I will knock on some doors. Some people will not even allow you to talk. They'll just say, please come in. Are you kidding me? You want to kill yourself? The person will just say, come in. Don't say anything. What is the paper? Let me just sign and give you the money. In fact, there was one day I had knocked on doors, In Chicago, yeah, I'm not talking of some country. This shape, Chicago. I knocked on door, And I didn't get anybody to give me anything. I called my mom. I said, I've been knocking on doors. I said, you can just buy this thing and maybe later tell them you don't want or something. Because I'm going to get zero today. And I didn't tell her I was doing that work. I could hear from the other side that she was almost in tears that, my son, why did you tell me? But I felt that I needed to do something. I couldn't be calling them and say, please send me handout, please send me money. No, I'm a man. And by this time, I was already thinking I want to get married. So how will I convince these people that I'm ready? If I can't fend for myself and I'm still calling New York and say, mommy, please, can you send me something? You know, I'm sure some of you meet some of those guys. Quarter there. A quarter. $1. You know, you meet some of those kind of people. God wants us to pay attention to our work. Because the Bible says, he that is not working is stealing. So he goes ahead and says, let him not steal, but must work. He didn't say should work. He didn't say may work. He said must work. Why did he put the work on a compulsory level? Because work can be worship. Work can be worship. Let me ask you the question. What church was Adam going to? I know some of you know Bible.
Then please tell me the name of his church. I want to go there. Eden Worship Center. Eden Assembly. These are very spiritual people.
Adam didn't have a church. When God created Adam, even before he gave him a wife, do you know what God gave him? Work.
That's why if you somebody come and meet you and a lady and he doesn't have work, he can't have husband. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Genesis 2:15. Work is a form of worship.
The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Some people, anytime they hear work, labor, they think it's part of the curse of the law. This was before the curse. Work is not a curse. Why did God create work? Because God himself worked. In fact, I'll get there.
Let me not jump ahead of myself.
So God put Adam in the garden to work the garden, not as a punishment, but to release his potential.
I don't know about you, but sometimes if I sleep too much, I feel tired. Does it happen to some of you?
That I need to do something. Just for, the way God made the human body, the human system, work is part of what will keep us balanced and healthy. If you are lazy, you just discover that you are getting tired and tired. Have you noticed that many people, if they don't give themselves to work, when they so-called retire, that's when they start dying. My dad had a boss that I knew. So I used to go to my dad's office back in the day. So when this guy retired, and then one day we went to see him, probably he had retired just like 5 years after. It was as if he just grew all the aging that he was supposed to be aging. It's as if he studied somewhere. As soon as he retired, they just gave him, take your aging. And the guy just rapidly aged. Do you know what happened? Because he was not doing anything. Work is very important. Work is something that releases our potential. Work is something that pulls out what is inside. There are many things that you have inside you that you don't know you have. If you put yourself to work, if you put yourself in the situation where you are working, it will be pulled out of you. It will be pulled out of you. Because sometimes you say, that boss is using me. No, God is using him as a schoolmaster to bring out your gift. Look at Joseph. Joseph did not know that it is not dream that will get him to the palace. It is not dream that got him to the palace. Not just, I have a dream. It is the interpretation of dreams that will get into the palace. But to get interpretation of dream, he needed to walk until a place where he will now get into a place where the situation will demand that he will use that gift of interpretation of dreams. And as soon as he used the gift of interpretation of dream, he was in the palace. I see somebody going to the palace in the name of Jesus.
So I want you to see work as a form of worship. Don't be casual about it. Don't be late to work. I hope people don't get late to work, because sometimes when people come late to church, I'm like, is this how they treat their employers? If you are doing like this, and some people will say, well, it's because it's not my job. Let me say the truth. What you are doing for other people, that's what you will do for yourself. In fact, if you continue that way, you will not have your own. Because it's a law of seed and harvest. You are sowing a seed that you can never become an employer of labor. Because if God gives you a business, that business is going to kill you. Because now just to go to work, you are complaining. Hey, we went yesterday. And so what? You know, because sometimes some people, because you're a pastor. I'm like, excuse me. Go to work. Go to work as a child of God. Amen. So work is a must. Look at your neighbor. Say work is a must. Why? Because God worked. God the Father. That's how we met him. Genesis chapter 1. You know, people just thought that the Bible said, God said, let there be light. It's like he's sitting down on the couch, sipping juice and, flipping channels. Maybe that's what he was doing. No. I believe God worked. Because the Bible said he did. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible said, on the seventh day, God had finished his work. And if you look at creation, you will see that creation is not careless. God was thoughtful. It was deliberate. It was intentional. It was because God was going to create something that will last years.
So there was nothing that was left to chance. The fact you just said, saw him say, and God said, you just thought he was careless. No. It was thoughtful. It was work. Mental work is also good work. Can I get amen to that? Because sometimes some people think people that do mental work, they don't work. Oh, excuse me. You've not seen some of those guys. They'll be sweating on the computer. Because mental work is serious work too. Amen. So God worked. In John chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible said Jesus worked. Jesus himself said this. In defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I am working too. Jesus didn't used to sleep 8 hours like some people have suggested. I don't have a problem with sleeping 8 hours. Don't get me wrong. But please, don't sleep away your life. I don't have a problem with sleeping. Sleep if you need to. But works too. Because some people, they prioritize sleep so much. I had a friend, or I still have a friend. She's fond of saying something like, sleep is overrated. I think sometimes it is. Because some people, I need to sleep. I need to sleep. Excuse me. Because if you sleep 8 hours, you will have slept a quarter of your life? Because a third of your life, if you are religious with that. So you were, one third of your life, you were unconscious. And some people, if you add to that, maybe it will be close to half of your life. That is not good. That's not good. Jesus said, my Father is working. I'm not lazy. Sometimes when you say to some church people, why are you late? I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. And I'm like, okay. Because the way they say it to you is almost like, Pastor, you don't understand. Some of us, you don't know when we wake up. If we tell you when we wake up, you'll be like, what's chasing you? I'm telling you, man, long before many people wake up, sometimes somebody will call me, maybe like 6:05, say, Pastor, I hope I didn't wake you up. I just smile. Only if you knew. We are working because God is working. So work has not been done if you don't give the value that the work promises. It's not just to work. You must give that work the value that the work promised. For example, if you were employed to do A, B, C, D, you have not really done work if you don't supply that A, B, C, D. So it's not just to show up and mark the time and just sit down and consume the space. You need to give value to the work. You need to be asking yourself, is my boss getting the best use of his money on me? I eavesdropped on a conversation with two people. And the guy was telling the other guy that, you guys should give us a contract. The guy said, I am the contract. They employed me to be that contract that you're asking them, us to give you. That is me. I am employed for that. The guy said, you don't know how to. He said, I have to go and know how to do it because that's what I'm employed for. I am employed to make sure the company doesn't spend that money again on contract because I am that contract. Are you looking at yourself as that? When you show up at work, do you just see yourself as, I'm just doing. No matter how silly the work may look, your attitude should be that I will give this my best. I would do this so much that if they were to recommend anybody for promotion, it would be me. If they were to say, we are going to randomly look and say we are going to send some people home not to work again, it won't be me. Because I gave it my everything. I gave it my all. I did it as if I was doing it for God. Because I am actually doing it for God. Can I get an amen to that? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but rather work. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Whatever. Whether that thing is not paid and is a job, do it with all your mind. Because some people say, well, it's because it's not paid. And so what? In fact, when it is not paid, do it much more than normal because who will pay you is God. Every job you do, employer pays you some, God pays you others. There are some jobs you do, employer doesn't pay you anything, God pays you everything. Do it with all your might. Give it everything. Do a lot, do much more than is required. Don't do minimum. I will know somebody that will soon own their business by the time they get to work and the time they leave work. There are some people, they know how to do it. They are so anointed. The work starts at 9. They are there at 8:59. By the time they open that door, it's 9. And by 4:59, because it closes at 5, they are at that door, they are about to leave again. Oh, Lord. God have mercy. People that own business are not like that. Because they don't have opening time. They don't have closing time. I was talking to some business guy the other day. The guy was like, he said, I've lost a lot of sleep. Because that's how you work business. You don't have opening time. You don't have closing time. But because, well, it's the boss. My salary will be paid whether I do it or not. So you get there at the minimum. You just do the minimum. The bare minimum. No, that's not what God is calling you to. God is saying, everything you have power to do, do it with all your might. That's how you position yourself for abundance. So he says, who has been stealing should steal no longer, but work. Then doing something useful with your hand. You need to begin, you need to graduate from work to do something with your hands. I believe there is something God has placed in everybody's heart. I think I was hearing during the School of the Word about the facts about vision and people writing some of the things they see God wanting them to do in life and all of that kind of thing. There is something God has placed in your heart that can become a business. God wants us to be entrepreneurs. He wants us to be people that will be entrepreneurs, that will have businesses, that will do stuff with our hand. Don't think only of job alone. Somebody once defined job and said job is just over broke. Most people that are rich, they didn't become rich by doing a job. They had to do some form of business. That's why the Bible says, let it that steal no more. First of all, let him work. But after working, let him begin to think about what can I do with my hands? What can I do that is beyond just the work that I've been given? What can I do with my hands? What can I do with my hands? It's a question you should be asking yourself. You should be checking out. You should be researching. You should not be comfortable to just have one stream of income. You know, in Eden, there were four streams there. It was not one stream. There were four streams. God, I believe, for every of us, he wants us to have multiple streams of income. Yes, make money from stocks. Make money from your job. Make money from a business. God wants you to do that. That's what God wants you to do. So don't think of job alone. Don't think of just working 8-to-5 alone. Some of you, when you leave your 8-to-5 job, you need to get back home and spend at least 2 hours learning something new. Some of us, the way we are living our life is as if we are 100 years old. How old are you that you can't learn something new? You say, this is what I used to know when I was in so-so-so country. I used to be MD or something. Excuse me, you are not there again. You are here. So please, roll off your sleeve and get something doing. Amen? Can learn something new. It's not too late. I'm thinking of some new things I want to learn myself. You know, learn a language, Spanish. Learn a trade. How to do this? How to do that? There are people making money on Amazon more than some retail stores in Chicago now, and they don't lift a pen. They don't go anywhere. Everything is online. They buy from China. Send it to Amazon warehouse in wherever it is. I think Amazon is planning to come to Chicago. May God bring them. Amen. Hopefully. I'd like them to come because that's more job for Chicagoans. Okay? Wherever they go and wherever they are now. Somebody ships from Alibaba in China, sends it to Amazon. And then Amazon, they list that stuff on Amazon. And then Amazon picks the order when people order it and ships it to them. They don't even see the order, but they see the money. Do something with your hands. Do something with your hands. He said, let him do something useful. Useful. Some of us, our phone is useless. It's not useful because it's just to do prognosing. Somebody is on Facebook, he did this, he did that, he's on Instagram, people are looking at. And after all that studying of Facebook and Instagram, people come depressed.
Somebody came to meet me the other day, said, not here. He said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I said, what? He said, it's about my life. I said, what happened to you? He said, I'm just thinking about my life. My mates have gone. When he said, I said, my mates, I put two and two together. I said, have you been on Facebook? He said, yes. I said, let's talk. Because Facebook is fake. Most of those things, people are just showing you the best side of things. Sunday best. I can also, yeah, you can go there and show people the best side of things. Everybody can do that. Some people, those pictures you see on Facebook, they dressed up for it. Even the makeup. You know? In fact, somebody the other day was telling me that they don't wear two clothes if that picture must go on Facebook. If they've worn that dress before, they will not put it again on Facebook. So if you take a picture of them, they will beg you, please, don't put it on Facebook, because they don't want people to see that they've repeated that cloth. So it's fake, okay? So don't let that be your own issue. Use your phone for meaningful stuff. Some of us need to be using our phone to go to YouTube channels, not just to watch movies. Some people, that's all they do with YouTube. Do you know that on YouTube, there are a lot of trainings? A lot. This week, I was listening to a training on sound. Several, plenty training. You need to help your own business, so, you know? That sound thing, I'm helping my own business because I want to hear good sound here, and I don't want somebody to tell me it's not possible. I want to also learn myself. And then when they say it's not possible, I say it's possible. I have read too. Okay? You need to help yourself. The Bible said, do something useful with your hand. So I believe you need a business. I have a gentleman here who I would have given the mic to, but he has pleaded that I shouldn't give him the mic. Please come. I will just let them see you. I won't give you the mic. All right. Thank you for encouraging him. Please encourage him more. This is Mr. Olayinka. He will be a good resource after the service. We have talked about it. We're supposed to do this whole money matters together. But he just left me to eat. He will be a good resource. Because some of you may be asking questions. All this, do something with your hand. How do I make my extend the dollar? How do I extend the money? You can talk to him. He has some resources. We're supposed to set up something in the back there. But he can send you so many things. The first time I spoke to him, he sent me a video. Almost 2 hours long video about money. All right? So this is a good guy to talk to. Please, can you put your hands together for him? So you need a business. You need to let your money work for you. You need to let your money work for you. There are people, the only kind of money relationship they have is that they work for money. They don't understand that there's another relationship of money working for you. Money working for, and it's at any level. Please, don't tell me, Pastor, you know, I don't go there. Any level. You know, I found this out, that savings is not a function of income. It's a function of decision. People don't save because they get a lot of money. They save because they made up their mind that they will save. Because some people feel like, you can't talk like that because you make... No! There was one day, me and my wife sat down and I told her, I said, look, this is how much we save. She said, are we able to? I said, we are. I said, do you know how much we make in this house? And I did the analysis. I said, we are making this thing that we are making 2 years, 3 years from now, we will blame ourselves and say, are you kidding me? This was passing through our hands. And what were we doing with it? Nothing. Because you see, money is a currency and it's flow. If you don't channel it, if you don't create a pathway for it before it comes, it will just follow the pathway that it finds on the ground. And most of the people's pathway that it finds on the ground is to spend. It's to spend. And if you spend it, it does not have a future. It's like you have eaten your seed. And if you have eaten, anybody that continually eats its seed has also eaten his harvest. Any man that is in the habit of hitting their seed is going to be in shame during harvest. There's no harvest for such a fellow. But you are not that kind of fellow. In the name of Jesus. So I want to challenge you in this season. Find your ground. Find somewhere where God wants you to do business in. Where God wants you to do something. Something that God is laying on your heart. Start looking for that ground. Because the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 28 verse 19. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 19. He that tills his ground, or he that walks their land, will have abundant food. Everybody has a land. There is a land for you. There is a business. If you can work it, there may be, it may be something small. Maybe you can cook. You can package it. Maybe you can help somebody shop. There are so many people, there are so many needs that people don't even know that they need. When Apple did iPod, there was nothing like iPod. It was a need that all of us did not know that we had. When they did the first iPod, you know that iPod that was a little bulky, some of you that have seen it, and it had a dial. We didn't know that we needed it. All we thought we needed then was Walkman. How many people know Walkman? You know, Walkman and that headphone that is very tiny. You know, not the one you put into the head. It's headphones like that, but it's pretty tiny. It's just good enough for the ear like that. We just thought, you know, and then put cassettes, you know. Sometimes you wind it with your pen, do like this. We thought that's what we needed. And I think somebody said they went to Sony and they sold some similar idea of iPod and they said, are you kidding me? Forget about that. Say, we'll stick with CDs. And then Apple came. Apple said, we will make them know that they need it. Some of you have a land that you need to make people know that they need what you have. So the Bible says, he that tills his ground will have plenty. You work it. There is nothing that God gives you that is finished. It's in a raw state. So when God first gives you, you need to now do something about it. I said it, I think, last week, that the continent that should be the richest continent under heaven should be Africa. Because they have a lot of natural resources. But you see, the problem of Africa is that Africa sends its natural resources everywhere to be processed. And then they go to those places that it has been processed and buy the processed good. And it's processed good is always more expensive than raw material. So the countries that are selling the processed good are richer than the country that own the raw material. Find your land and don't leave it as raw material. Turn it to processed goods. Turn it to something that people can pay for. Turn it to value that people can buy. Turn it to something. There is nothing that, most of the things that God will do for you, it has already done in you. Some people are waiting for their ship to land. It's already inside you. You just need to look inwards. You just need to pull it out. You just need to find it. And you need to make it to bless your world. So let he that steal no more, but must work, doing something useful with his hand. He now said this part, that he may give. I thought the person that was stealing because he was hungry. He needed to eat and all of that kind of thing. So why is it that the purpose, the end goal of his working, his stealing, his ground, his doing all of this, is so that he can share or he can give? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Why is it that? And I came to see from Scripture that the real purpose of wealth is not accumulation, but distribution. God's agenda for kingdom wealth is not just accumulation, but distribution. You remember that man that the Bible called the fool that said, I will say to my soul, sit and be merry, and then I will build barns, I will do this, I will do that. Why did God call him a fool? He called him a fool because he has forgotten the agenda of wealth. The purpose of wealth is not accumulation, but distribution. If you go and do your research, some of the most richest people on earth are the ones that give out the most. I used to work with, in fact, the year I was still in Microsoft when Bill Gates left Microsoft. I knew his office. I never saw him physically in the office, but I knew his physical office. I went there physically. And I couldn't understand for the life of me why, because at that time, Microsoft was doing very well. I mean, Microsoft was a subdivision. Microsoft had zip codes. I mean, that's how big it was. If you come to Redmond, I was in Bellevue then, there were like 75,000 of us there, physically, not in India. In that, so when you get there, everything is Microsoft. There's nothing else. In fact, there was something I wanted to do Western Union. I could not find, because all these guys don't need that. I could not, I walked, I looked, I searched, I could not find. Microsoft doing everything. So I was wondering in my mind, how will somebody be making so much and having this much and leave it and say, I want to leave that and I want to go and be given. I don't know how he got it. I don't know how he knew it, but it's the principle of scripture. That the best thing you do with wealth is not storing it, is sharing it. That's the best thing. He caught wind of it. Do you know this guy has been the richest man for about 20 something years straight? He's richer now than when he was working. Because he caught the wind of scripture. Because the Bible said, let him that steal no more, but rather work, that he may have something, do something useful with his hand. That he may have something to share. The agenda of God is that every child of his must have something to share. Why do we work? We don't work only to eat. If you are working only for your food alone, you are living a low life. Because that's how some people are living. It's almost for consumption, just to eat. No. You must work to share. To share in the place of savings and investment, but to share in the place of sharing with other people. God wants it to be a distribution center. If it will be a distribution center, he will send it to you. He will send it to you. I have seen resources before. I have seen God send resources, and many of the time it's because of distribution. I remember several years ago, just before we got married, I was thinking to myself that, Lord, I need a new car. I'm going to get married. I don't like this car. This is my car that is, I know how much I bought the car. I bought it as a student. And I finished school, but things are not going quite good and all of that. I've been believing God, confessing scripture, and really putting out my faith for a car. One day, I think I was praying, and God said to me that, but you have a car. What do you need? I said, I don't like the car. He said, okay, if you don't like it, then get rid of it. I said, what does that mean? Give somebody. I was like, I don't have the new car that I want. Give somebody this one if you really want another one. So before I went for the wedding, I gave somebody the car. Gave them the car. So when I went for the wedding, coming back from the wedding, I thought to myself, there will be no car. So the night I came back from the wedding, because I left Chicago, went to Nigeria, went to do the wedding. The night I came back from the wedding, I got a car. God was trying to show me that if I am a distribution center, if I don't hoard it, if I don't keep it, if I don't sit on it, he will pass it through me. Some of us were believing God, I want to be able to do this, I want to be able to do that, and you are postponing it, putting it in the future, when I become so and so. No. You can start now. Because some people say, God, test me. Test me with wealth. I will show you. And God is like, are you kidding me? I've been around for a long time. People like you, if you give them, they will even show up in church again. Say, God has done it. And sometimes the pastor calls and say, Pastor, there's no problem. We are fine. We are doing very well. Glory to God. And those people get very spiritual. You know, it's the work. You know, we are very busy now. We are very busy. And God will be like, I know your time. So the real purpose of wealth is not accumulation, but distribution. God wants you to be a blessing. God does not want you just to be blessed. He wants you to be a blessing. If you associate with that quickly, you'll start finding blessings. God wants you to be a blessing. Now, from now, not then, nor later. Because some people say, that's true. Now, buy socks for somebody. Buy belt. Buy pen. Buy stuff. Sometimes I watch people. I'm like, this guy. Okay. Because I'm expecting, guy, you should be able to give me water now. Because pastor is blessed. But no. God wants you to be a blessing at your level. At your level. I said this before and I will say it again. The size of gifts don't matter. It's the heart. It's not the size. Because some people are looking at size. No. There are people that have given me a lot of gifts. I've gotten all kinds of ridiculous gift. I told you I got a car. So somebody gave me a car. But I have gotten some gift that I can never forget forever. There was one day I was leading prayer in another church. And I led the prayer. I prayed all my, those days. And I still do that, as God helps us. Prayed with all passion and all of that. And somebody slipped a check into my hand. $50. I can't forget forever. Because the heart of that check is big deal. There was another day. We came to church that day. did not have any other money anywhere in heaven on earth. No money. Zero. Nada. And somebody came to me and said, God said I should give you $200. I can't forget. Forever. I cannot. I remember another time when we had our first son, somebody came to our house. The person who comes to this church, they gave us so much food that we did them a ceremony without food. I can't forget that. The size is, how much is the food? I can buy that food every day now. But it's not the size, it's the heart. It's not the size, it's the heart. So God is asking you to be a blessing, not by size, but from your heart. He's asking you. He's saying, look, money is not an issue. I can bless you. You've not seen blessing. But I want your heart to be right. I want you to have a right attitude. Because when I bless you, I want you to know the purpose. The purpose is not all about you. Because once God starts blessing some people, they'll not start calculating. I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do that. And God is like, really? Really? No, you didn't have. You were not having all these plans. Now you have plans. I have big plans. I want to move to a big house. I don't have a problem with that. But is that big house going to disturb the agenda of God? Yeah. Somebody told me, some member of this church told me this year, said, I wanted to buy a house, but I'm thinking I shouldn't buy it yet because I think we need to buy church. Meaning that person is saying, look, I won't be looking at them saying, let's contribute for church. Because sometimes when they say, let's do something for God, some people say, it's other people. So the person is already telling himself, this is how much I will give. I told my wife the other day, I said, will it be wrong if we give this amount for church building? She said, ah. I said, yes, that's what I want. I want it to be, ah. Because it's like life savings. Yeah. That's the attitude you should have. Some people know my story that God has blessed us. But the story behind the story is what I'm telling you this morning. It's the heart. It's the heart. There are sometimes I've given people things in this church. I gave you the last. You didn't know, but that was the last. It wasn't that I had many where I pull it from. I gave you everything that I had. It's the heart. It's the heart. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20 verse 35. It was more blessed to give than to receive. Why is giving so big deal? Why is God saying, you know, this guy that is stealing should not steal again and I should be able to share? Because giving is the cure for greed. Giving is the cure for greed. And the temptation of wealth or money is greed. More. The more you start tasting success, tasting wealth, the tendency for you to be greedy is very high. You hardly can find a rich guy that is satisfied, that feels that I'm now rich enough. No, you hardly can find that. They want more. And there's nothing wrong with more. But sometimes the more, you can become so greedy that you can do almost anything for it. Sell yourself, say anything, do anything, all kinds of things. And how do you keep yourself under the agenda of God? Give it. Because giving is a good cure for greed. It kills greed to the bones. Amen. I'm going to round up like this. How should you give? How should you give? Number one, give to God. You know, we started with, let him that steal no more. Stealing is when you take what is not yours and use it without the other person's permission. Some people are stealing from God. They are taking what belongs to God. They take the tithe. They say, well, it's an Old Testament thing. But the blessing is a New Testament blessing. The blessings of Abraham are mine. It's a New Testament blessing. But the tithe is a Old Testament thing. God will increase me. It's a New Testament thing. But the tithe, come on. Wake up. Yesterday I was thinking to myself, that people are arguing about tithe. Are they arguing about tax? Because the argument is this. Oh, you don't even know what the church will do with it. You don't know what this pastor. Do you know what the government people are doing with it? Are they not wasting it more? I have said this before and I say it on record. That if you want to waste anything, give it to government. Government doesn't manage anything well. Is that not true? If they manage a school, the school will be in trouble. Usually, private people manage it. Look at CTA. Sorry I'm being political this morning. But look at CTA. I believe if Uber ran CTA, it would be profitable. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen to that. Amen. People are looking at me like, what is Pastor you getting? It's the truth. CTA makes deficit every, they're always in debt every year. And they are subsidized to the whatever level. And some people say, hey, well, you know that they are cheap. Are you kidding me? They are the only option. Is there any other train service? They are a monopoly. Why should you not be cheap? Everybody goes through you. But you are not still. Why? Because it's the hand of the government. And this government, they are paying this city people with what? Your tax. Do you have a choice to it? If you go to Julius School, will you tell them, excuse me, sales tax, I didn't sign up for that. They will tell you, they will take it. So why is it that the God part of things, you know, people start arguing. And some people, they don't argue. They help God spend it. They say, Pastor TLC is doing an event tomorrow. My tithe is $100. I'm going to go to that event. I will give him $50. Am I not giving to the things of God? No, that's not it. Let him that steal no more. Because you are using God's money without God's permission. You are using it as if it's yours. It's not yours. Give it to him. Let him decide whether he's going to give Pastor TLC by himself or not. Give it to him. So how do you give? You give to God. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 says that honor the Lord with your substance and first fruit of your increase. How should you give? You give to your parents. You give to your parents. Whether they are rich, poor, or in between, you give to them. Giving to parents is not because of need. It's because of command and honor. Give to them. Give to them. I remember several years ago, I don't know where I got it from. I just decided that I will be giving my grandmother, buying her stuff. I didn't know she was going to die soon. She didn't need it. You know? She didn't need it. I mean, that grandmother, there was a time, she would even give me more money in my account than I could ever imagine. She didn't need it. But I was giving. I was sowing into her because it's scripture. Give to your parents, your physical parents. That's what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. Your days will be long. Your spiritual parents, anybody that has spiritual oversight over you, Pastor E, give to him. Amen. I'm a blessed man. I'm not saying it because I want you to give to me. If you don't give to me, God has given to me. Amen. But other pastors here to give to them. Because some people say they are blessed. Let me tell you this story, because you are my people. One time, I went to Nigeria. Then I gave, you know, some of you know that I know Daddy Gio, just as a little boy, you know. So I gave him something. It was a tie. And then he called me, said, young man, why are you giving me one tie? In my mind, I'm like, excuse me. I mean, I didn't tell him that. I was like, I gave you a tie. You should be happy now. There are many people in this Lagos I didn't bring tie for. So he said, you don't give me one tie. You give me at least two. I've never heard that before. I felt like, really? So I was mildly angry. You know? So I left his presence. I just like, man, audacity, man, man of God. I just in my mind like, God, oh, just help us, man. And I think I heard God telling me that. He's telling you the truth. God was like, do you think he needs your tie? And I looked at it and said, that's true. If this man wants to make a whole city tie, he can make it. And he doesn't need to pay a dime. All he needs to do is I say, the Lord said there is somebody here that you will begin to do ties. But you need to give a man of God some tie. His house will be full of ties. So I started thinking to myself, it can't be for him. It's for me. And since that time, I changed my attitude. Every time we see Jesus, I will never go and meet him and say, Daddy, please, I have this problem. I have. No. And I do have problems that I can tell him about. I will not. But what I do, I will always bring something in my hand. Say, Daddy, I just came back, sir. Say, next year will be bigger than this. Many people have people like that around them, spiritual and physical, but your own is to tell them to give you, because they are blessed. No, that's not how to position yourself for abundance. You give to them. Some of you have parents. You are always collecting from them. When you were not working, you were collecting from them. Now that you are working, you are still using style to collect from them because you tell them, please, can you help me buy this? They will send it to you. You will not send money back. God help you. They say, what did we do to Pastor E today? So how should you give? Give to God. Give to your parents. Give to spiritual people. Pastor. You know, some of you, don't, You never say, Pastor, please take these socks. No, he's blessed. Look at his suit, Seth, to pay my rent. That's what we're talking about. Give to your parents. Give to the poor. Give to the poor. When you find people that are poor, give to them. People that don't have. You don't need to always call church for everything. You can be a welfare package to yourself. You see people, call them. Say, excuse me, come. I know people in this church. Some of you might know some of them. They've given you shoe before. They've given you a shirt. There's no organized anything. They are just kindness of their heart. They see that your shirt is not looking too good. They buy you one. Your pant is not looking to buy you one. Don't receive a loan. You to begin to think like them. Who can I be like that to? When you go to city and all the subway and all of that, don't always ignore those guys that beg for money. Sometimes drop something there. Leave them and God. Whether they want to be high and low, that's their problem. You just do your own. Give to the poor. The Bible says in Proverbs 19 and 17, anybody that gives to the poor is lending to the Lord. How better way to do business than to loan God money? If you give to the poor can't pay you back. In fact, this one of my principles is this. I like to give to people that can't repay me. Yes. Because some people, you know, they like to give to people that, they call it pouring down water so that they can. That's bribe. you are working something. That's not the word of God. No. Give to people that can't give to you back. People that, some of them may not even be able to say thank you to you. Be anonymous sometimes in your giving. It's not every giving that you should give people and then let them know that you give them. Be anonymous. It's okay. It's okay. Give to the poor. And then give to ministries that bless you. Ministries that bless you. Don't only give in church. There are ministries that bless. Salvation Army. Red Cross. When some of us hear tsunami, you hear hurricane, some people just watch the news and that's all. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be part of what is going on. Thank God God has not let that happen to you. And one of the things to show to God that you are grateful, $2, $5. Sometimes it's not the size, it's the heart. It's the heart that you are showing that, oh, this is something I want to do. And don't get me wrong, money is not the only thing you can give. You can give your time. You can give service. Some of you can do something. So there's somebody you can offer service. For example, we did a program here yesterday. I was embarrassed, to say the least. Many church people, don't show up. And some of them, there's no good reason. I have this. Are you kidding me? There's nobody. We are so busy too. We have 3 kids. One is still sucking some, milk and all of that. So we are busy. Travel here, do this, do that. Very busy. I also walk. Because some people think so because we come to church. I work more than some of you in terms of physical hours. Yes. 2 a.m. I'm up many days. Yes. So why do I, Pastor, it's Saturday. I did. No. Be a blessing to ministries too. Because that's how God rewards people. That's how God places people to the next level. Being a blessing. Ministries that bless you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. I'm going to close with that. I spoke a little long today because I love you. Amen. You can tell by my passion this morning. I want you to do well. And you will do well. I say you must do well. This year you will do very well. In your finances, what you will experience at the end of this year will be better and bigger than what you experienced combined last year in the name of Jesus. Galatians chapter 6 verse 5 says, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. If somebody has blessed you, even if it's a musician, do you know it's good to give to them? If somebody sang well, I told you I've prayed before. People have given me check for praying. Are you kidding me? I just led prayer. Let us pray. Let's pray for our country. Pray for yourself. People say, God bless you for that. You can do that. There are people on ministry, on TV. Somebody is doing good job there. Send something to them. Or go and volunteer your time. It's a way of giving. It's a way of, don't be the one that everything must revolve around. Don't let life just circle around you. Think about other people too. Can you bow down your heads this morning? We've been talking about positioning for abundance. Abundance is possible, but you have to stand at the right place. You have to stand well. Let he that steals, steal no more, but rather let him work, that he may give, that he may share. I want you to ask God that, Lord, I don't want to be a thief. I don't want to steal my employer's time. And I want you to help me to discover my land. I want you to help me to discover the things that I can give to people. I want you to help me also to cultivate the heart of sharing, the heart of giving, that I will not just be a consumer, but a distributor. In the name of the Lord.